I've been a lot on my mind about it about all week. We hear so much about people who try to dig deep, come up dry and all this, and that's not what I'm about. And sometimes I just get nervous about the lessons because it seems contradictory to what you hear. But I want you to look at your Bible. And I want you to look at rightly dividing it. And if you've been with us, I don't have any more copies of this chart, but hopefully you can see it. And you've got the mysteries, and you've got judgments, the resurrections, and baptisms. And if you will, turn in your Bible, please, to Colossians. Pray for me this morning as I get over this shakes and get right into my lesson. Colossians 1:27. We're looking at one of the greatest mysteries. Colossians 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. As I said last week, that's a mystery. And it's hard to be understood. These things are hard to understand. A man that says he understand it, it's tough to understand. All right? How many is in here this morning? 20-some? Is there 20 little Jesuses in all of us? No, the same. So here's a mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That was the first one we went. The first mystery is a mystery of godliness. Jesus is first in all of these. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's hard to understand, isn't it? Is it not hard to understand how Mary hailed God? Mary washed God? Mary changed God's diaper? Great is the mystery of godliness. Now the one we looked at last week is Colossians 1:27, the mystery of the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's a mystery. Now a mystery is sometimes no longer a mystery when it's revealed, right? Like when you read a mystery book and you come to the end of that book and the mystery is revealed. So we have places in our Bible where the mysteries are not revealed. And when we take these writings in the Bible and we make a casserole out of them, if we take the Bible and make a casserole and put everything in it, which it's all truth, everything in that casserole is good to eat by itself. And it's good to eat together. The Bible is given and ever worthy for inspiration, for doctrine, for correction. And it can be used that way. But doctrinally, there's one application. We're going to look at some of those things today. Get my places here on my notes here. Now, I want you to turn and look at Colossians 1:24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. Now we're going to look at that before we leave here today and look at that mystery. I tell you, this Bible is so beautiful. The devil fights me from teaching these lessons. You've got to realize that. He does. But I'm going to stay with what I see in this book. Let the devil, as the old saying is, if it hair lips the devil, that's what's going to happen. But look at verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. And we won't go any farther there for just a few minutes. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now, last week we talked about where people, the dispensation of grace. A dispensation is a time period. But it's not, but that's not the best answer. But it's looked at this day and time as a time period. A dispensation is the way the householder or the husbandman runs his family or runs his house during a period of time. That's what a dispensation is. And people will say there's no such thing as the dispensation of the grace of God, that there's grace in every dispensation. And there is. There's grace in every dispensation. But I beg to disagree, because there is a dispensation of the grace of God. And we're living in it, a time period of the grace of God, even though grace. And I use an illustration like this for those of you who've not heard it, but those who've heard it a lot, but about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 16, except I go away, he will not come. Did he not say that? But hadn't he always been here? Amen? Shake your head one way or the other. He said, except I go away, he will not come. So there's a time that the dispensation of the grace of God, the working of the Holy Spirit in a different manner. And you know, the Apostle Paul is the one who brought those. And we're going to look at these questions or these things before we get back into those. But in verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God. And right, people will say the same thing about a dispensation of God and say there's no such thing as a dispensation of God. Now, this is in commentaries that I pick up who I could not sit down and argue this with these people. They're much smarter than I am. But I believe this Bible was not written for the intellect. It was written for the man of God, that he could sit down and be truly furnished for every good work. I believe that. My dad had a third grade education. And when you talk to my dad about Israel and the restoration of Israel, and he could see it in this book, and he stayed with what he saw in this book. So this dispensation of God that was a ministry of Paul. So it was a time period in there that is given to Paul. Okay, but you have to be careful there. You can't say Paul started the church. An ultra-dispensationalist will say that, won't they? I've heard them. Well, I don't go but nothing but what Paul wrote. No. Paul said several times in here, those who were in Christ before me. Now, let's read on here. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid. Now, you watch this, folks. You just can't read over these scriptures and not go on with them. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. That was the ministry that Paul's given. Paul is given some mysteries. All right? Let's just think about some time periods are important. When a book was written, let's take James, for example, and the controversy you have in faith in James and in Paul's writings. But when was James written? And who is James written to? James 1:1, to the 12 tribes. All right? Yes, it's given for us for inspiration, for correction. But doctrinally, you got to put it. All right, do you realize that James is one of your earliest books? James was written before any revelation given to Paul on justification by the faith of Jesus Christ. Before then, it's written. Okay? Now, if you look at this, these mysteries right here, let me read some scriptures before I go to that. And let's look at Galatians 1:6. Now, you remember in Galatians, and you remember in Acts 15 when they had the council we talked about last week. But let's look in Galatians 1:6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, into the grace of Christ. You got that? There's some people in Galatians who are getting trapped again by rules and laws and circumcision and needing to be circumcised. There's some people that's getting trapped again by that. So he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Works perverts the gospel of Christ. Okay? Now, I want you to look at verse 12. Paul is saying, look, guys, I've got something different here, okay? Paul said, I never received this of men. Watch, verse 12. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So there were some revelations that was given Paul that others didn't have at that time. Now there's one thing that and I'm not so good on these history times, but I can read enough to where I can pull that out when these books were written. You know, when John wrote, look how John writes. You know, John would have read the epistles that Paul wrote at the time that John was written. But James is before. Look at Hebrews. Look at sometimes in Hebrews where in Hebrews it says, in chapter 11, these died in faith. You know why we die in this dispensation of time? Spiritually in Christ. Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's a different time. Have you ever read... I've encouraged you that Brother John Knox came and he brought his book. Now, you won't agree with everything I say and you won't agree with everything he wrote, but still, where he's showing law and grace, and he's showing in his book how that in the first part of Acts you have a transition period. And a lot of cults build their doctrines on a transition period. They'll take a transition period and build. And what he calls it in his book is building on a swinging bridge. I want a better foundation. Now, all the Bible is truth. It is all truth. But it can't all be used for doctrine at this time. Not for doctrine. But it can be used for reproof, correction, and spiritual guidance. But not doctrinally. Not in this dispensation of time. And many times as I've said in this class, New Testament started when? When does the New Testament start? Matthew 27? Without the death of a tester, you have no testament. Amen? According to Hebrews, without the death of a tester. So you've fallen under law in some of those things. So we got to be careful. Man, time's getting away. But what I was reading these scriptures for, you look at verse 12, we'll read it again. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now watch verse 16 of the same chapter. to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. He didn't receive this revelation from man. He received it from God. Amen? All right. Now I want you to look at verse 17. Neither went I up to Jerusalem. So what he's saying, I did not receive this from man, neither I received it from the apostles. He says, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. So he did not receive it from the apostles. He received it from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he received the revelation, folks. Now, some of you have never seen this chart before in your life. I read some books and made this chart. I read a book on seven mysteries, seven judgments, seven red. I said, that needs to be in a chart form and color it. And I did that. This is the bride of Christ right here. And I want you to look at this. Paul received these revelations. James, at a time, he did not know those revelations. These things for him, you realize that I've showed you in Matthew 13, Jesus gives some parables. And he said, do you understand these things, 13:51? They said, yea, Lord, we understand them. He was speaking of the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. He said, do you understand these things? They said, yea, Lord, we understand those things. But in Matthew chapter 16 and in chapter 15, the end of 15 and 16, it says he began to tell them that he must needs go to Jerusalem and there he would be crucified. And Peter said, be it far from you. He didn't understand the church. He did not understand the mystery body. He knew nothing about the rapture. Yes, they knew about a resurrection of Israel. He knew the Gentiles, the mystery of the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ephesians 5, he said, I show you a great mystery. He said, he talks about the husband and the wife, and I'll read that in just a minute. And he said, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He said, it's a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Then Paul said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but shall all be changed. Those were revelations given to Paul. And when you start making a casserole out of this and poking everything, people are so confused. I don't believe Johnny would mind me telling this. I don't believe it, but Johnny gave me a pamphlet to read this week. And the guy's a five-point Calvinist. He said, I want you to read. And there were several pages, but I read them. And if you don't watch that rascal, you won't see what he's talking about. The guy's a five-point Calvinist. And if you know, we've taught in this class and looked at this class, what a five-point Calvinist. Tulip. He believes in total depravity. Yes, we're all total depravity. Unlimited atonement. Irresistible grace. And predestination. The man believes that God's only going to save whom he'll save. And the rest he won't. You know why they believe? They take some of them things and they take when God's speaking to a nation, and they make it speaking to an individual in this time period. When God said whosoever, he meant whosoever. But they'll take a scripture and they'll read it to you. And you know where, and as I've said many times, when you talk to a Calvinist, it's just like jumping a rabbit. Just climb up on a stump and he'll be right back there. Circular reasoning. They got some scriptures they're going to deal with, and they won't deal with the rest of them. Just get up on that stump, and he'll return in just a minute. And he'll return right back to predestination and to Ephesians. And you know what he's dealing with in Ephesians? What? The church. The church. What did I say last week? Romans is saved by grace through faith plus nothing. If you could sum up the book of Romans, you would say saved by grace through faith plus nothing. If you summed up the book of Galatians that Paul wrote, it would be kept by grace through faith plus nothing. Ephesians, the church. Colossians, how you got in that church and what that church is. So Galatians is to Romans, or Colossians is to Ephesians, what Galatians is to Romans in Paul's writings. And when you look at this right here, there's a time period that Paul, God's dealing with us in a dispensation of the grace of God. And I can see how a person would say, well, there's no such thing as a dispensation of the grace of God. There's the grace of God in every dispensation. But there was a time, folks, when great was the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was made known in the flesh. I'm manifest in the flesh today. This is Joe Allen, manifest in the flesh, made known to you. So when I change that in my Bible, and I change great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh, and I put he who was manifest in the flesh. Or I put another word there like some want to do. Why? Because they don't understand it. You can stay up all night and you won't understand great is this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can stay up all night and reason with that. I don't understand how God could be in every one of us, but he is if we're saved. I don't understand how he's the head and we're the body, but he is. I don't really I understand the rapture. I think I do a little bit sometimes because of this. Christ in you and this church. And because Christ is in you, this church is going up. Paul said it's a great mystery. Let's turn there just a minute. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. That's why you think, why do you think Peter said that Paul wrote things hard to be understood? Huh? Because he was given some revelations right here. And we're looking back on these now. And it's clear to us of what God does. It's hard to understand, but we understand that God did it. And what God did, I don't understand how God spoke and created this earth, but I believe it. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now, how did you become a member of his body, of his bones, and his flesh? When you ask the Lord to save you? Yes. But how? But what happened? You know what he told Nicodemus? He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Not one or two. But everyone that's born of the Spirit. In this dispensation of time, we have a spiritual resurrection. We're crucified with Christ. I had a spiritual circumcision. Christ came in me, and according to Colossians 2, he cut me loose from this old flesh. And he's dwelling in me. Mark 7 says that out of the heart proceedeth evil things. Adulteries, fornication, these things. How could Christ be? That's a mystery. But you see, we are in him and he's in us. And that's a mystery. Mystery of the Gentiles, mystery of the body, the mystery of the rapture. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife. And they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. The Bible says that my wife's not in this room. She's somewhere else. But we're one. Is that not what it said? Christ is in heaven seated at the right hand of the Father. But we are one. And Paul said this is a great mystery. A great one. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. It's a great mystery, that church. Paul said about this, he said, neither received I it from men, right? He said, I didn't receive it from flesh and blood. Neither did he receive it from the apostles. So when we read our Bible, don't get in somebody. How many times have I told you this in this class? And I can't get over it. I tell you, when I was in the Army and carried that, my wife's letter in my pocket, boy. I put her love letter down in my pocket. That's the way God loved the church. We hadn't been married but six or seven, eight months, and I got drafted and went in the Army. I'd get that letter and stick it in my pocket, and I'd carry that one until I got another one. And then I would get that one out and read it and replace that one with it until I got another one. And he said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You ought to be reading your Bible that way. God, I want to hear from you today. And carry this in your heart till you read it the next day. But see, I knew she loved me. And I knew I loved her. And when I looked in this book, I know God loves me and I love him. And I know that relationship. But I'm not going to go pick up the next guy's letter and go read that. That'll make sense to you some days. We go through the list. What did I tell you about if I go to my neighbor's mailbox and I pick up people do that. I've seen denominations that do that. They'll go into a part of this Bible and they'll read something and say, oh, we're going through the tribulation period. Because they're looking at Israel in the tribulation period. And they don't look at it as a nation. They look at it as an individual. Now, I'm going to do this. When I go back to my love letter to him, and he said, I've not been appointed to wrath. I'm not appointed to wrath. I'm not going to see that. Said, I show you a great mystery. He said, I show you a mystery. We shall all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trump of God shall sound. There were some people there in Thessalonians that were worried. Somebody's telling those people that they've missed it. The resurrection's past. And hey, if we were going through what they were, seeing heads roll, people having to actually, as Paul said, lay down their lives for Christ. Yeah, I'd think I was in the tribulation period too. But Paul said, you're not there. He said, this is going to happen. This right here has been revealed to Paul. And it's a particular time. As I said a while ago, when you go into Hebrews, and I can't explain all these things, but when I get into Hebrews, I'm not going to take and casserole the Bible just to be able to explain it. I'm going to go back, and when I look at James, and the preacher preached a good message Sunday and showed the faith in James compared to the faith in Romans that Paul's speaking about, but hey, I'm just going to go over here to Romans, James chapter 1, verse 1, where it says to the 12 tribes. And I'm going to think in my mind about these revelations here. When were they received? After that book was written. When I look at John, I want you to... I've rattled off here so much I've missed. In Hebrews chapter... Let me go. We'll save it until next week. When a man has five senses, right? It's one of these. I'm getting about smell, touch, hearing, seeing. You know, a saved man, he gets another one, don't he? That's not actually a sense, but he gets that Holy Spirit within him. He's got a sixth sense then. He has something to help him to measure those other senses. Look here. Christ in you. Great is the mystery of... First is Christ. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. You know, he starts all these off on this chart. All of them is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? How do you say that? All right. Judgments. Seven judgments. Judgments. Sin at Calvary. God judged his own son for us. Did he not? He was judged for us. 2 Corinthians said, God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We might be made the righteousness of God in him. All right? Sin at Calvary. Resurrections. Christ the first fruit. All right? In us, we have a spiritual resurrection. I'm crucified with Christ, right? I died with him, man. Inside this sinner is a sinless man. I'm crucified with Christ. I have a spiritual resurrection. Okay? Baptisms. You say, why, Joe, why do you go through all that? Because of the confusion. Somewhere, and probably up this road this morning, somebody's being told, if you ain't baptized, you ain't saved. And you know I'm telling you the truth. I have a spiritual baptism. The baptism that I got in the water was just a sign, a symbol, just showing what happened. But something had to happen. I was baptized into Christ, Colossians chapter 2. All right? Baptism of suffering. Remember when Siloam came to Jesus and asked that James, about James and John, said that one may sit on his left and one on his right. And he looked at her. He looked at the men, not her. And he said, can you be baptized with what I'm baptized with? And they said, yes, Lord. And they were. Baptism of suffering. He starts it off. All right, we have a spiritual baptism in this dispensation. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. I know this is a lot to be thrown at you. It's a lot to think about. But what I really want you to think about, if you never remember anything that I ever say to you about this, please do this. Look at the revelations. You know, all of you know, Paul was given revelations. What revelations was he given? When was he given them? When were the other books written? When were they actually written? What revelation did they have? James is clearly written before any revelation of justification by faith of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm crucified with Christ, Paul said, Galatians 2:20. Now look at Colossians chapter 2. Oh, Lordy, I wish we had more time. You can't get 30 minutes. All right, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Lovers of philosophy. Paul said, don't let lovers of wisdom, all right, and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness. Are you listening to me? Are you reading this with me? All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. A Jehovah Witness told me one time, said there's no such thing in the Bible as deity. I said, I beg your pardon. What's Godhead? What is the Godhead? And we looked at the Godhead standing in my yard in Romans chapter 1 and here in Colossians. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body, the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the mystery. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Why was Abraham circumcised? What was Abraham's problem? You know, as I've said in this class before, When God brought him that knife, could you just imagine? It's dull men in here. And you say, why there, Lord? Why there? Because he had a problem in his seed. Adam. Circumcision was a cleansing. Amen? But by the circumcision of Christ, watch this. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through what? The faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. I have a spiritual resurrection. I have been cut loose. There's a circumcision that took place. And you know what it was? The soul being cut loose in this old body. In the Old Testament, a man could touch, a soul could touch, read it, a dead, anything unclean. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of God. That word of God is like a two-edged sword, cutting asunder. The word of God come in us and we received it and it doesn't work. And the Holy Spirit entered us. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh of the circumcision by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and circumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, forgiving you all trespasses. I have a spiritual baptism. I'm baptized into Christ. And I have a spiritual resurrection. I am resurrected with Christ. And I am in him. People say, well, you don't know you're going to heaven when you die. I said, no, I'm already in heaven. What do you mean, don't know I'm going to heaven? I'm already there. Am I not? Are you there, Brother Melvin?
Absolutely.
I am in Christ. And where's Christ? In God. John chapter, now we just read, and I'm packing a lot in here, but I want them minds to stir. Even if you disagree with me, I want your minds to be stirred. And I'm packing a lot in there. But like I said a while ago, just do remember this. When was it written and who was it written to? When I go to my neighbor's mailbox and he's not making his house payment and they're taking his house, they're not going to stop by and get mine. These revelations right here were given to the Apostle Paul in a dispensation of the grace of God. So there is a dispensation of the grace of God. When was that dispensation started? Paul didn't start it. I'm not an ultra dispensationalist. Paul didn't start that dispensation of the grace of God. He said in Ephesians chapter 6, I believe it was, and he talked about those who were in Christ before him. If they were in Christ before him, then how did he start the church? Our Lord and Savior started the church. And in John chapter 6:17, when he prayed, he said, Father, that they may be one and be perfect in us. You see that? He said that they may be. Hadn't happened yet. That they may be perfect and may be complete in us. Paul said in what? In Colossians chapter 2? Now ye are complete in him. Rightly divide your Bible. Know when somebody stands before you and says, you got to be baptized to be saved. Or there's no such thing in the Bible as deity. When I started talking to those men about these revelations that the Apostle Paul got, they didn't know a thing I was talking about. Because you know why? They have built a foundation under what they already believed. People will take their Bible and they'll build a foundation under what they already believe. Or they'll build a foundation to support their lifestyle or what mom and daddy taught them. See? I know I've got family members who want a foundation under their lifestyle. They want to go to church. But they want their church to support their lifestyle. Then you've got people who will choose a church and build a foundation under what they already believe. I get to reading this book and looking at this book. God changes a lot of my thoughts sometimes. When I go to look at this right here, so just remember, out of all my babbling, just remember. Who wrote the book? When was it written? And who was it written to? Everything happened in time, in history, at a certain time, at a certain place, for a certain reason. So don't make a casserole out of it. And pop it all together and say, this is that. I know some men who went to a tomb and they looked in there and said, who hath taken our Lord? For these things were hid from them, neither knew they what he said. Is that not right? So Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to who? Them that are lost. Those men wasn't lost. But there were some revelations that came right here. Rightly dividing the Word of God. When was it written? Who was it written to? For what reason was it written? What revelation did they have when it was written? Lord, thank you for this day you've given us.